read the gospel, since I'm getting ready to preach on the gospel. I guess I can read it. The gospel this morning is Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And let me see here, Luke chapter 12, okay there, verse 13 through 21. And one out of the multitude said unto him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and keep yourselves from all covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This I will do, I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for thee for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And we have it's an interesting passage because even though Jesus was there to present the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven, the message of the good news of the gospel of God, that hey, and that's what gospel means, the good news. He was there. John the Baptist, his forerunner, was there to get people ready to receive, you know, that just turn from your sin, start living for God, you need to live a new life. And here Jesus shows up and he's right in the midst of some really fantastic teaching and somebody yells out from the back of the crowd, Hey, teacher, I've got a problem here. My brother won't share the inheritance with me. So I can read into that a little bit. Maybe mom and dad have died or whatever and the eldest brother is responsible for dividing the inheritance, and for some reason, this young man isn't satisfied with the performance of his older brother. My brother isn't dividing the inheritance with me. In the past, I have been the executor for several estates, people here in the church who have passed, family members and whatever, and there is no messier situation that a pastor ever wants to find himself in than to be the executor of a will. When people are determined that, I've got mine coming to me and it better be there. I've been in situations where it was determined that, you know, by those who didn't have an idea of what was the value of the state, that, obviously, the executor of the state is sitting on a bunch of money. He's stolen money from the estate because I need to have my money and I'm not getting it. So, needless to say, that was about the last time that I signed up to be the executor for an estate. But what leads to this? You know, I look at when my mother passed away and Terry and I went up for the funeral. And there were a few things that had been set aside for me, but others had kind of backed up a U-Haul trailer and just drove off with whatever they wanted. My mother had a set of quilting frames, for those of you who may remember what it means to quilt. If you're going to quilt, you have to put that frame in a quilt. And my mother had inherited the quilting frames from her mother, and my mother's little sister decided those were hers. Because after all, they had belonged to her mother, and She didn't really care what my mother had stipulated in her will. She just packed up the OU hall and went to work, taking off with whatever she wanted to. And as Terry will remember, that caused quite a bit of friction on the day of the funeral when we were in the limousine and my little sister got word that this had happened. I have heard some pretty spicy language in my time, my little sister had actually hung out in areas that I hadn't hung out in because I heard some things that I had never heard before. And, and it was interesting. My father steps in and he reminds everybody there, we are Climies. That's my last name. Pastor Climie. We are Climies and Climies don't act that way. And so we understood that, in God's calling, we have a higher level of responsibility. And when you allow yourself to get upset about those kind of things, then it is a dead giveaway of where, your values are. And Jesus tells this story on such an occasion. Somebody had died and somebody hasn't received what they felt they should receive, and so let's go to the master and let's get him, because after all, he's all great and powerful and people respect him. Let's get him to make the final judgment. And Jesus' response is, hey, nobody's made me the decision maker over you guys. It's not my place to do it. But then Jesus went on to say, however, this young man's request does reveal a little about what his priorities are. And then Jesus goes on to give the parable of the wise man. Basically, what had happened was the wise man fell into a real blessing. It wasn't something that he had anticipated. It was something that he was totally unprepared for. But the Bible says the ground was exceedingly fruitful, and at the time of the harvest, he had such a large harvest that he didn't have anywhere to store that stuff. And so his response was, I'll tear down my old barns, and I'll make bigger barns. Why? So that I can keep it all. I'm going to sit around for years to come, living off the fat, living off of the additional income that all of this great harvest is going to bring me, and never thought once about eternity. And so Jesus really brings it into perspective, and he says, tonight, that soul is going to be required of me. What does that mean? You're going to die tonight. Okay? Make it real simple here. There is no parables or anything like that. Tonight, you're going to die. And then, who's going to get all of those goods? Everything that you're making all these plans for the future, who's going to get everything that you have worked so hard for, that you've received this blessing? Who's going to get it? And in doing this, Jesus is trying to tell us something, and that our priorities when it comes to riches reveal a little bit about us. That the Bible says, where our heart is, there is what? Yeah, where your... I've messed up my yeah. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Okay, so what do you treasure? Because that's going to tell you what your heart is. And there was a gentleman that made a survey of a certain group of churches. He chose some churches at random to qualify for this little survey. They had to be a certain size or whatever. And so these were churches that had a couple hundred members or more. And he went to each one of them and had them fill out this financial survey. And it was interesting that as he took this financial survey, that some of these churches had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, not for a building program. This was just extra money that they had in the bank. Yet, they didn't have a benevolent fund. So if somebody came up and said, man, I'm really having some problems, they could, well, sorry, we don't have anything in our benevolent fund for that. If people in the church were having problems, sorry, we don't have anything for that. And so his question was, where are the treasures of these churches? What are they preparing for so that their big push, their big emphasis is how much money can we stash away in the church savings account? And you know, as a 501c3 church, you're not allowed to have a profit. Okay? And when you turn your paperwork in at the end of the year, we don't pay taxes, but we have some forms that we have to fill out. You're not supposed to have a profit. If you have money left over, it's supposed to be for something. Okay? Not just, oh, look at all the money that we have saved up. And so this whole idea of, well, back in the 70s, we had a little saying when it came to trusting God in prayer. If you have Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and back in the 70s, and $10,000 in the bank, of course you need a little bit more now, but Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and $10,000 in the bank, who needs God? Well, now you can go ahead and say, you know, $50,000 in the bank, you know, with your Medicare Advantage, your program, or whatever, who needs God? Because you think about it. You know, we get sick, we go to the doctor, we use our insurance, all of that good stuff, and all of these things just kind of chip it away at our prayer life. You know, it's only when we find ourselves up about this deep in quicksand are we quick to start crying out to God, God, you got to help me. But we are just happy as clams. I've never seen a sad clam, so I guess all clams are happy. We're just happy as clams to go through life, and we will pray the ambiguous prayer or the necessary prayer that we have to make sure that we've checked in once with God during the day. Oh yes, I'm a praying Christian. You know, prayed from, you know, 7:30 to 7:31 this morning, and you know, spent my time before the throne, and then we're just kind of happy doing things ourselves. I think the Industrial Revolution has been almost the death knell for the church, because before the Industrial Revolution, we were an agrarian society. And I'll tell you who prays for rain. Farmers. Who prays for the right kind of weather to those crops to grow. For the early rains and the latter rains you'll read about in the Old Testament. Because in Israel, they had two kinds of rains. And one would really get the crop going. And then the latter rains would top it all off so that, you know, everything was lush for harvesting. People that depend on the weather, that depend on the ground, who depend on their cattle, their goats, or whatever, those people pray because they understand just how out of control they really are. All right? We, living in our air-conditioned houses, you know, Lord, it sure is hot outside. Thank you for the air conditioning. You know, Lord, we've kind of accessorized God out of our lives. This comes in to make our life a little easier, and with that, a little bit of God has to leave. And so, I would say that Jesus is saying the same thing to us today. Just, where is your treasure? Because that's where your heart is. This man is going to die. He's going to stand before the judgment. And the first words out of his mouth, I guarantee, is, what about all that money I left behind? All right, I had barns full of stuff. What are you talking about? I had harvest still in the field. Who's going to get all that? And the angel's going to smile real big and say, you surely aren't. Okay? That isn't going to happen. And so I want you to think about a little four-word phrase that Terry and I have tried to use and guide our lives. And that is that we are blessed, I guess it's five words, blessed to be a blessing. Okay? If God gives His children something, then it is, oh, thank you. Well, I can't tell you how much I needed $1 million. That's really great. Thank you, God. No, it's to be a blessing. To keep our eyes open now, because there's going to be some. Now, I will tell you that with blessings come responsibility, because the devil is going to bring a lot of distractions. If you're blessed and you know you've made the right choices financially growing up and when you in your working years and stuff, that sometimes the devil is pretty good at bringing people out of the woodwork to come and say, well, I'm really going through a rough part in my life right now and I really could use a blessing. Okay, so you really have to be careful about that. But several years ago, Terry and I, we were pleasantly blessed with a little contract we had with a Fortune 500 company. And it put food on the table and it paid the bills and let us have a little mad money and stuff like that. And it didn't require a whole lot of my time. Then the company was so impressed with the work that they were doing is they said, we'd like to give you all of Texas, all of Louisiana, and parts of Oklahoma. They ain't but one of me and they haven't perfected cloning yet. And so I'm sitting there saying, well, I guess I'm going to have to tell them I can't handle that for them. But Terry and I recognized that this was a special opportunity that God was giving us. And so we went to prayer. And God put on our hearts some people that we could bless with this. And so we went ahead and expanded the company greatly, hired personnel, trained personnel. We had to go out and buy service vehicles and tools and all that good stuff. But it was really neat that God put this little opportunity with Terry and I, and we were able to turn around and bless four other families with it. So now, instead of Terry and I sitting there with this, we're able to bless the four other families. But fear not, because there's another little allegory in life that says the more that you do for somebody, the less they're going to appreciate it. Ever been there? Okay. And so as it turns out, these people that we, you know, gave them this opportunity, trained them, they were in no way capable of doing this themselves without me training them and all this good stuff. All of a sudden, they determined that I was trying to rip them off. And all that. And so all we heard was complaining. Oh, we need more money. Oh, we need that. Oh, we need this. And so finally, as it all turns out, we just, okay, let everybody go. We didn't renew the contract with them. And then they all found out just how blessed they were when they had to go out there and live on their own without Dad being there to direct some blessings their way. All right. And so, you know, we kind of look at the rich man and we say, well, I don't have to worry about it because I don't have barns to tear down and fill up or whatever. But what God said to the rich man is true. Thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. We don't know when God's going to come knocking. I hope that the rapture of the church occurs and we all get to go together. Wouldn't that be fun? Okay, if you think we're going to be singing some song like, you know, Onward Christian Soldiers, you're wrong. There's going to be some, you know, Jehovah Jireh or some, you know, some really great, as we all go up together, isn't that going to be great? But if that doesn't happen, there is going to be a time when God comes knocking and says, tonight, your soul is going to be required of you. And the next thing we know, we open our eyes in heaven. And I don't want, this is what Jesus was trying to show here, that this man here, when he opened his eyes in paradise, because at that time, you know, you couldn't go to heaven, but you could go to Abraham's bosom or what they call paradise, that it would be such a shock for him. Because all of his life it's been me, me, me. How can I bless me? What can I do to get ahead? And all of that. And now he's going to wake up in a place where it's all about God and giving praises to the Father, to the Son, and it was really going to be quite a shock for him. And besides all that, if you're out of here tonight, who wakes up a millionaire tomorrow? You know, it, maybe that nephew you never liked in the first place. You know, who knows what's going to happen? And so this is God's way. This is Jesus' way of showing us today, to encourage us, determine where our treasure is. All right. And so I can, you know, the people whose treasure is in the things of God, then that's what they're excited about. That's when you get together, they like to talk about those kind of things. I like to talk about heaven, and I like to talk about business, and I like to talk about, you know, engineering and stuff like that. But when you get with people, what seems to be their life emphasis, especially at this stage in our lives where most of us are not worried about going out and making a living, we're, you know, retired or, you know, semi-retired or whatever. Where is that emphasis? Where is that desire? Where is that love? Because that's going to determine where, what is really and truly important for you. Amen? You know, I had Terry and I, we used to go to Cypher Assembly of God, over in, Cypher, Texas, believe it or not. And it was funny because there was a core group of people, and this is true in just about any church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That's how it is in any volunteer organization. 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work. And there were some people that came up to some of us while we were working at the church on a Saturday, I believe it was, and they said, you know, well, we'd like to do something for the church, but, you know, you guys are a clique and you won't let us in. And I said, clique? And the only clique we have here is, you know, if you want to serve God and if you want to do something for the church, whether we're up shampooing the carpets or whatever it is, getting ready for Sunday morning, dude, there's no clique. There's just show up and do it. All right? Don't try to sit there and say, well, I would, but they won't let me, when you've never tried. And so, you know, I guess that was a speaking or a teaching moment for some people, but there are some people that are satisfied with exactly what's happening in their church and what they're doing, what they're involved in, all that. And then there are others that say, I would like the church to go farther, to be able to do more, and what can I do to make that happen? And so I'm glad that we serve in a church where that is the general attitude, you know, where people are saying, I want to be able to sing on Sunday morning. I want to be able to read the daily readings. I want to be able to do this, to be able to do that. And what does that mean? That shows me where your treasure is because that's where your heart is. Amen? And verse 20, but God said to him, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? Whereas, if God comes to me, and I don't know if he'd call me a fool, Nimrod maybe. Oh, now, Nimrod is my favorite word because it means mighty hunter. See, you thought it meant something else, didn't you? Nimrod means mighty hunter, okay? Yeah. But if he comes up and, today you're going to die, or tomorrow you're going to die, then I'll know that everything that I've done up to this point is great. And I hope that it carries on. I hope that the training and the teaching that we have put out there is enough for everybody else to kind of pick up the slack and go on. Because that's where Terry's and my heart is, in this group of people, in this church, to prepare us for the things that, are around the corner, whether it is sickness or surgery or, whatever the case may be, but we're pulling together as a church and we're seeing things happen. Amen? And I will tell you that in the 12 years or so, it's over 15 years now, isn't it? Yeah, in the 15 years or so that we've been here, every need has been met. It has. That anything that we've had in this church that we needed to be addressed, it has been met. And it's been met by the favor of God and the faithfulness of God's people. So I'm not up here complaining, and I'm not trying to motivate you all to do more, because you all have a proven track record. You all have been faithful, and because of that, the church has been able to do everything that it needs to do. And the chairs, they're getting a little on the worn side. Now we're going to have to figure out something to do with them to cover it up. But y'all got those. The church just said, look, I'm just going to go ahead and I want to give a little extra. I think we paid like $55 for the chairs or something like that. And so this Sunday, my family and I are throwing in an extra $55. And it took a couple of months, 3 months, and we were able to put all of these chairs out here, which is really great because the chairs that we had before, your tailbone would sit on the baseboard underneath. Yeah, that was there's a couple of chairs that on this one here, I put 2 inches of foam on it, and so your tailbone doesn't bottom out right away on it. That's your chair, all right. But we used to have, Terry and I have started a lot of churches with these old stacking chairs, all right. These have been around for years and years and years, a couple of decades anyhow. And not only that, but after we've sat here for, an hour and a half, it gets a little hard to pry ourselves out of these chairs. Amen? And so we decided we needed to get some chairs with arms on them. All right? That's just an example. The church had a need, and the people that made up the church were faithful to meet that need. So I'm not trying to get after anybody at all about, where your treasure is, your heart is also, because you guys have always been faithful and every need has always been met. But it does show something here, what God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. So at one time we had the favor of having 22 restaurants that gave us food twice a week. And what did that allow us to do? We had a killer food ministry. All right, we just didn't take it all for ourselves, but we shared it with the whole Grand. There were people from outside the Grand that came to get food because, man, we had Starbucks and we had Outback Steakhouse and we really had some, not just the pizza places, but we had some really good Olive Garden and all that good stuff, and people would literally lined up all the way down to the elevator, you know, standing in line to get the food. Right? Why? Because that's how this church is. We don't look at it as, oh, what can we do with this just for ourselves? We get something in, we want to share it with everybody that we can. And even now, you know, when we only have one pizza place that we pick up from, you know, CC's Pizza, still tonight at 10 o'clock, I'll be over there knocking on their door and they'll give me a stack of pizzas. And Wednesday night, I'll be over there at 10 o'clock knocking on the door and they'll give me another stack of pizzas. And that's down there for anybody in the Grand to go down and enjoy. So, I don't know, is today's message just a waste of time because you're already doing it? No, I want you to think of this. I am blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to bless. Blessed to bless. And think of that when you're going through an especially blessed time. And it doesn't even have to be financial or physical. Maybe it is you're just feeling so good emotionally or so good spiritually. Maybe that's the time when I said, you know what, I'm just feeling so on top of things now and feeling the peace and the presence of God, I'm going to go ahead and call up so-and-so on the prayer list, and I'm just going to tell them that I'm thinking about them and whatever. Not just pray for them, but share with them that you're praying for them and how special they are. Remember, folks, we are blessed to be a blessing. God blesses us, His children, so that we can turn right around and do what He would do. Take that blessing to give to others. Amen? Can we remember that? Blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Father God, we thank You for Your